Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Just got a threatening text message. Do not be late for the flight. Like, don't be late. I don't get it.
I guess that would be helpful.
Oh, no, I'll read you the exact. It's from Cappy. So Cappy says, please do not be late. We need to depart on time, if not early, due to fog. Move! Let me tell you this way. We have 5 o'clock on this show. This dude here is doing one very quick, hey, don't forget Tim Kirchner tomorrow, and I'm gone. I'm not going to be late.
I don't blame you.
Because obviously, we've been threatened. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Oh, so many games. Let's go with the national championship game.
LSU trying to find an answer. Burrow now will send out Clyde Edwards-Helaire wide to the left. 3 wide left, 2 to the right. Burrow by his lonesome in the backfield on 3rd down and goal. Burrow, design run, cuts to his left. He'll get to the end zone. Touchdown, LSU! 5th rushing touchdown of the year for Joe Burrow, and I think they fooled the Clemson defense on that play as Burrow gets it from 3 yards out.
It's funny because I was texting with my son during the game last night, and they got to that play right there, and he texted me, what do you think? And I said, Burrow quarterback draw. It was just a gut feeling, you know. And I don't know. They were talking about wideouts and things like that. I said, Dan, they got a quarterback draw this thing. I said, this guy can run. I said, and Clemson is set up for it. I said, you got to be. There are times they kept talking about the Clemson. Oh, the 3-1-7 defense. Well, one of the keys to being a good offensive team is you have to use a team's defense against them. Well, when you're in a 3-1-7, what don't you have? You don't have a lot of run support out there. That's why I thought the quarterback draw with his running ability, really, really good. And if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you ought to be excited. This is your guy.
Gutsy call, too, on that 3rd and 10 late in the half. I thought that was the biggest play of the game.
Yeah. Yep. Gutsy call. All right. Now, the NFL playoffs continue this weekend. The Niners will take on the Packers, and the Chiefs take on the Tennessee Titans. He has, to our knowledge, auctioned off or used as gag gifts all of his Duck Hodges apparel. Neil Kulong. Neil.
They are gone. They are gone. So much for that quick little enterprise that didn't yield me the amount of money that I wanted to. Hey, if you better start in that Cincinnati game, I think I would have been able to break even at least, but wasn't to be.
Yes, and speaking of Cincinnati, I thought Joe Burrow gave a nice audition last night. All right, so there was an interesting phenomenon that happened in the playoffs over the weekend. It went, you know, play calling wise, 180 of how almost every regular season game went. It's probably a one weekend trend, but 57% of the plays run by the winning teams were runs. Wow.
Yeah, this is definitely an odd year, and I don't want to say it's a blip on the radar. I mean, historically speaking, efficiency comes through the air, not on the ground. But
yeah, I mean this is a pass league, and it's a fun pass league. And it turned out that suddenly out of nowhere, Jim Taylor and Paul Hornung appeared.
Yeah, I thought it was plenty entertaining. I'm certainly watching Baltimore lose. I didn't mind that one.
I knew you enjoyed that.
But just the way that Tennessee mapped it out, you know, that's the exception of running the ball, a strategy to run the ball that yields high efficiency. When Derrick Henry is running for 40-plus yards a carry, that's plenty efficient. It doesn't really matter overall how you're getting the yards, how you're getting the points.
Right.
They didn't have to throw the ball. The lead that they had, the way their defense was going, whatever they could do to just maintain possession was going to help them out. And then, you know, they're working on short field almost right away in the third quarter, which really kind of seemed to be a dagger in the back of the Ravens pretty much right away. They get two turnovers and they convert both of those to touchdowns.
Right.
It's like you're watching the opposite of what you thought was going to happen. And, you know, hats off to Mike Vrabel and his staff for the game plan that they had. That couldn't have worked any better. They couldn't have done a better job. And it's not often that you say that in the playoffs. Tennessee was as close to flawless, I think, as you could get. And they needed to beat a team like Baltimore. But they didn't just beat them. I mean, they beat them all over the field. There was absolutely no doubt in that game at all. And really, at the end of it, it just kind of became a conversation of how much of this is to put on Lamar Jackson. And my thought really was he had a bad game. So did every single other player on the Ravens. I mean, with the exception of maybe Marquise Brown, I don't think
Brown
I saw a
really,
great performance
Brown was
out
really
of him.
Good. He was,
yeah, and
he was really
he's a
good.
Spectacular player. You expect that. The Titans took everything away from the Ravens. Absolutely everything. I mean, they got trounced. I mean, you know, we're used to seeing divisional blowouts like that, but usually they're coming in Foxborough, and usually it's at the hand of the Patriots.
Well,
To see the top seed get shellacked the way that they did, I don't think anybody really saw that coming.
You know what's interesting is obviously the 2019, now 2020 Green Bay Packers are in the NFC Championship game. The Titans played that game like the 1960s Packers. In other words, and this is what I'm saying, Bart Starr would throw the ball early. Right? Bart Starr, on a turnover, would, on first down, go deep. And once they got the lead, it was Paul Hornung, Jim Taylor, and the offensive line. That was like watching the Packers of the 60s stylistically in that game on Saturday night. And what they did was, against an explosive team, they brilliantly shortened the game. They took away possessions.
Yeah, I think one of the most surprising stats out of all of that, I believe Tannehill had, 10 pass attempts,
yep.
Something like that?
Yeah.
One of them went for a 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Another one was
Bob Greasy Super Bowls.
Yeah. One more Titans pass attempt was a jump pass from the running back in the end zone.
Yeah.
I think that's a great comparison. It really was 1960s-style football. You modify that slightly. Maybe you get into the early part of the century in terms of, you know, the style of teams playing. But, yeah, I mean, Tennessee, just I think more than anything, the style that they ended up, you know, kind of being known for in that game was happenstance, just as it was for Baltimore. Baltimore threw the ball probably way more often than they thought they were going to have to. I think the injury to Mark Ingram took, you know, something out of what would have been a normal game plan for them. But
plus they were behind, and think in some ways they panicked.
You're behind to a certain degree right away. They have to get a play. They're trying to. It looked to me more like, we're going to put guys deep down the field because we need to get these guys out of the center of the field so Lamar can work.
Right.
We need to give him, if he's going to run, he runs A-gap. You know,
mm-hmm.
they shut that down completely.
Right.
You know, that's largely different than what any other team has tried to defend against them this year. And logically, most teams will defend the edge. They don't want to get Lamar on the outside. But really what Vrabel said was, all we're going to do is use the sidelines here as our extra defender. We're going to defend the middle of the field because we don't want him to have two cutback options when he's running. He destroys people when he does that, and that's how they get their chunk plays. They move down the field because Jackson can go right or left. If we have him in one way or another, he might get 5, 6, 7 yards, something like that. We can live with that. What we don't want is him getting 40 or 50 a pop, which he does a lot, and that's a big part of the reason why the Ravens were the top rushing team in the NFL, in NFL history. So shutting all of that down, I think it created something that I don't think Baltimore had any sense of how to counteract. And in their hope was, all right, fine, they're going to give us this much space. We're going to try to hit the deep ball. So they're running deeper stuff down the field, hoping that Lamar can at least escape. But nothing worked. I mean, really, absolutely nothing worked. He had nothing to throw to. Guys are dropping passes. That certainly didn't help. Just a nightmare game for the Ravens. That's got to be among the worst losses that franchise has ever had. I mean, they just got crushed.
No question. And one quick side note for local fans, you are now guaranteed of having at least a Penn Stater in the Super Bowl because Jordan Lucas plays for the Chiefs, Austin Johnson plays for the Titans, and then the other side, Robbie Gould kicks for the 49ers. The Green Bay doesn't have any Penn State players on it. Oh, Adrian Amos is on this. Yeah, you guarantee it's going to be one on each side. Adrian Amos, that's right. Who, by the way, is one of the great free agent pickups of the offseason to get to Adrian Amos to go to Green Bay. All right, so who wins Kansas City and Tennessee on Sunday? Because obviously the difference is with Kansas City, with Mahomes, they can come from behind. They have a style that allows them to come from behind. Tennessee does not, and Baltimore certainly doesn't.
Yeah, I think that to me was kind of the big takeaway. Looking at the NFL overall and how great Lamar Jackson was all this season, what we saw really was a limited one-dimensional offense that, as powerful as it was, can't bring you back. Or at the very least, they have a coaching staff that isn't going to try to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to chuck it up when they're down two scores. Mahomes, as we saw, he doesn't care what the score is. I mean, just an unbelievable game from that kid. And I said this all year, not as a bitter Pittsburgh guy, but Lamar Jackson, as great as he is, let's keep in mind that the MVP of this league might be Lamar Jackson this season, but the reigning MVP has been hurt for a good chunk of this year. And you watch the last two games he played, that knee's coming back.
I really worry
about having to face him in the playoffs.
Looked pretty healthy
to me. That's a lot of what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, boy, is he throwing the ball beautifully. Now, speaking of throwing the ball beautifully, that's the best I've seen Aaron Rodgers throw the ball all season. He dropped the ball in there pretty well. Now, and his mobility, to me, is going to be vital against that very powerful San Francisco front. And they are a powerful San Francisco front. I think getting Alexander back made him even better.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco, in comparing and contrasting the styles of these two teams, what you see in San Francisco is just blunt force trauma out of their front seven.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like there were nine of them out there at all times with a nickel formation behind them. I mean, it was unreal.
It's 14 guys,
coverage.
Neil. It's illegal. 14 guys, it's illegal.
Yeah, you'd think so. Maybe the refs just missed it all game. I don't know. But
what's
Kirk
next?
Cousins
are they
had
going?
Absolutely no clue what was going on. He got utterly destroyed.
Oh yeah.
And you can see that at the start of the second half. I even said it going into it. The Cousins is going to throw two picks at least. They're going to score probably, I would imagine 14 points off of these. San Francisco is going to walk through the fourth quarter. You can just see it. Minnesota had absolutely no pass protection scheme that was going to stop what San Francisco was able to do up front. Minnesota, I mean, they really – San Francisco is a defensive team, and they played probably their best defensive game when they needed to. Now, for a team like Green Bay that's already been slaughtered by the 49ers once this year,
yes,
to not only have to travel to play that game, they lose a day on the scheduling just because of when they played versus when San Francisco played.
Yep.
I don't know how Green Bay is going to go into that game, but you're right. Rodgers looked almost Rodgers-like. There's something about him that I just don't think is quite right this season.
Right.
And it's not a question of reps or anything. He just doesn't seem to have the same kind of strength and velocity. But you saw some pristine passes down the field. A couple teardroppers he put 35 yards on a dime deeper down the field. I mean, nobody can question the arm talent that he has. It's still largely there. I don't think he quite has the velocity that he did. Maybe his legs just never came back from last year. I'm not sure. But it's a tall order, They weren't really able to close Seattle out the way that you thought that they were going to. Packers teams in the past that we've seen, they really put the foot down on the throats of their opponent when they get a situation like Seattle kind of let them have. I don't know. I think it's tough to bet against San Francisco in this,
yeah.
But I'm not 100% sold on what San Francisco is doing offensively either. They're getting the job done. I don't know how good they are. There's a lot to really like about the Packers defense, given you know, a situation where they're not on the field the entire second half, you know, trying to chase Russell Wilson down.
Well, I know he's still relatively young, right? But in reality, at this stage, I'm talking about on this particular week, how good is Jimmy Garoppolo? And I'm not so sure I even really know how good he is. I think he's surrounded by a lot of good, which is a great situation to have him. But I'm not so sure in the fourth quarter, if I had to hand him the keys to the car, I'd be confident that the car could get home. I'm not sure.
Is Garoppolo going to be the guy to really drive that? And I we've seen a couple times this season he's had that opportunity and hasn't really done it, or right. It's really kind of been more on somebody else. You look at that Saints game. Garoppolo played a great game, don't get me wrong, but yeah. That's set up on the gutsiest run after catch I think I've ever seen in Kittle's down the field. That wasn't really Garoppolo. He threw a nice ball, catchable ball, that's great, but we credit quarterbacks for absolutely everything. Kittle wasn't going to be denied on that play, and the field goal was set up based on that run.
The play was not designed to get you into field goal range. The play was designed to somehow maybe get you some yards on a first down.
Yeah, they gave a bucking Bronco the ball with 20 yards to the first down, or to the field goal marker that they would need, and he got him 30. That's how big of a dude he is. San Francisco's gotten away with that, and they have a defense that can do that. Offensively, I don't know. In that Saints game, certainly they had to produce quite a bit, but they also made a bunch of errors. I mean, Garoppolo was turning the ball over there quite a bit. Go back to the Steelers game early in the season. You know, Pittsburgh probably wins that game if San Francisco doesn't turn the ball over five times.
Right.
And Pittsburgh loses it on theirs. They give it away at, I think, like their own 25. And from there, it's like, all right, great. You know, you got 25 yards to score the game-winning touchdown. I hope you can do that for the money that you're making.
You want
75 yards with 2 minutes to go. Is Garoppolo going to do that? I don't know. I'm not sure he's even, you know, he might even be the fourth quarterback of what's left right now. Right. He absolutely isn't one or two. Yeah. I know that. Is he better than Ryan Tannehill? That's not the question San Francisco thought they would answer this season, especially not if they're in a conference championship game.
And on behalf of America, congratulations to North Dakota State. Your guys getting it done.
I was telling you guys about Trey Lance back in August.
I know.
That kid is unbelievable. He didn't throw an interception this season. You realize that?
He didn't throw one
interception the whole year. He's a freshman.
What other show gives you this chance to brag on your group?
Nobody. Literally nobody. Nobody even said anything to me about it. I'm sure they just assumed I was going to bring it up to them. But it was a phenomenal season from a team that, frankly, their best days are ahead of them. This wasn't even going to be their best team. You know, they've got a couple kids on that team, freshmen and sophomores, that are going to be monsters next year. And a lot of these guys are going to get drafted. Not now, but in 2-3 years, assuming – you know, Lance stays at NDSU, which, you know, people say that he may or may not, but I can't imagine that he'd want to transfer. But overall, offensively, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Once again,
nobody in FCS is going to be able to handle him.
Make sure Harbaugh doesn't show up.
Wouldn't that be something?
He knows, I would enjoy that thoroughly. He knows where the transfers are. All right. Neil, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. We'll be right back. Brady got rid of all of his Duck Hodges gear at discount. I'm disappointed. I had it all set up for the holiday party this year. Great gag gifts. I was even going to get him to sign some of it. Because I already knew that somebody on staff had him in the Hall of Fame.
Once again, I know who you're referring to.
I love the Duck. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. So the NFL, we'll do our picks, obviously, on Friday. Now, you are fully immersed in this.
You are
fully in. The next year, you are going to be on your own. You cannot live off the Sean Carey coattails.
That's right. This is my training right now, but I'm feeling confident.
I would like to know, though, do you know what, and I have no clue, do you know what your record is since you've come on board?
That I don't know. I have to go back and look, but I don't think it's great. This was definitely my best week I've had since I've been on the show fully.
Well, you did well. You did great this week.
Yep. 4-1, just like you.
Oh, look. You know how many losing years I've had? My goodness. Names on the show, but not because I know what's going on. Hey, Kevin wins almost every year. I'm talking about Jones. In the bowl thing, Kevin Herr wins every year.
Except this year.
Till now. And I believe I have tied the king, haven't I? I believe. Wasn't I a game behind?
Yeah, I think you guys are tied now.
Yeah. How about that shocker? And I don't even pay attention to what's going on.
Sibling rivalry right here in the midst of our fingertips.
Yeah, yeah.
When Old Man Winter tries to stop Central Pennsylvania in its tracks this season, make sure you visit 1380WMLP.com for the internet listings of school delays and cancellations and weather-related info throughout the storm. Winternet is sponsored by RW Moss Garage App Road in Seawinds Grove. When the snow flies, you should fly to RW Moss. They're your full-service Boss snowplow dealer with installations and service by their highly factory-trained service technicians. At RW Moss, they know all the big-name 4x4 trucks because they make the best plow trucks.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
CBS News Update. A kind of he said, she said conflict is likely to arise at tonight's Democratic presidential debate in Des Moines. CBS's Steve Futterman explains.
Did he say it or not? This is sure to come up during tonight's debate. Elizabeth Warren claims Bernie Sanders told her during a private meeting in 2018 that he did not think Democrats could win the White House with a woman nominee. Sanders denies making the comment. He calls it ludicrous to think that he would tell Warren that she could not win.
Some Democrats think the Sanders-Warren spat is not good for the party, but could it be good for one of the other candidates on the stage tonight? CBS News political reporter Caitlin Huey Burns.
Joe Biden, who has been able to kind of remain above the fray here, he's doing really well in polls and on the ground in some of these early states. Does this allow him to kind of gain some momentum as these two are duking it out?
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
With Christmas bills and heating costs, this can be a terrible time of the year to replace a major appliance. Hi, it's Bart with Peters Home Appliance Center in Sunbury. No matter the appliance that needs to be replaced, Peters is making it easier with 12-month 0% financing through the end of January. Replace that broken washer, dryer, range, dishwasher, or refrigerator now and take all of 2020 to pay for it. Any make, any model, no minimum purchase required, interest-free. Choose from our top brands like GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Maytag, and Speed Queen Home Laundry. We'll deliver and set up your new appliance for you. And if you ever have a problem, just call us. We service what we sell. No 800 numbers with strangers. No hassles. Easy. You see, that appliance disaster really isn't. Make your life easier with Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury.
0% financing for qualified applicants. See salesperson for details.
From floating in a saltwater tank to chowing down on some delicious pierogies, we've had some amazing experiences on In Your Neighborhood. The cool thing is that we've only scratched the surface of what the Central Susquehanna Valley has to offer. So join us as we stop by interesting businesses and organizations or introduce you to one of our many talented residents each month on IYN on SECV 8, exclusively on Service Electric Cable Vision Channels 8 and 508 HD.
Your exciting new TV experience is here. TiVo from Service Electric Cablevision is smarter, faster, and easier to use. With live TV, recordings, video on demand, and streaming apps all in a single place. When you're looking for something new, TiVo's recommendations are tailored to you. Voice-powered personalized results help you find what you want faster. And you can experience the unlimited potential of smart home. The new experience from TiVo is here. Call SECV today or visit secv.com/TiVo to learn more.
The new year is here, and I found the perfect way to shake up our shopping routine. It's Walmart's grocery pickup and delivery.
Oh, yeah?
We get the same prices as in-store, but at Walmart, they do the shopping for you.
So it's like a shopping shortcut.
A fairy grocery mother who just shops her grocery list so hard.
A secret sauce that makes running errands a cakewalk.
A life hack that hacks your life to get more life out of life.
Nice.
Use code WOWFRESH and get $10 off your first grocery pickup or delivery today. Walmart. Save money. Live better. Delivery fee applies. Delivery available in select markets. First order only. $50 minimum. Expires March 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK Monday through Friday mornings from 8:30 till 10 for our live local telephone talk show, On the Mark.
It's time to really move on. Get the good old boys out of there. Get the women that are running in there to take care of this. Could they do any worse? Let's rebuild this Republican Party with people who aren't afraid of a coward and a bully.
On the Mark, weekday mornings from 8:30 till 10, only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. And obviously, the big story we really can't get into because it's, but you do relate the news about the lawsuit about alleged hazing. And Isaiah Humphreys is the one that filed the suit. He has since transferred to Cal Berkeley. But it is also a primary news story today, and we have to make sure that we do mention it. After that, there's really no place else I can go with it for obvious reasons. I don't know anything about it. Let's start with that. And I think it's always very important that talk show hosts that don't know something about something should always say that they don't know anything about it. And if you don't know anything about it, then don't drive the ratings and just talk about it. That's just not the way it should be. You only should talk about things that you know about. So there we go. and go from there. Team is off until, I don't think the first workout session is until the 22nd of this month, maybe the 27th, one of the 22nd or 27th, one of the two. And then spring practice begins March 18th. All right. Then go from there. My understanding, well, I'm not going to get into what I understand. That's not fair to anybody. I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right. So that is the primary story. After that, we just have to wait and see. It's a lawsuit that's filed, and after that, you go from there. And LSU won the national championship last night. Nothing major happened in baseball today. It all happened yesterday. The Tim Kirchen is going to join us on the show tomorrow. We're going to get into the Astros situation, the Red Sox situation, but he's also in Williamsport, and we're going to get into the minor league situation as well. The Spikes are going to have a hashtag Save Your Spikes press conference on Thursday. They had asked me to MC the press conference, and I can't because of the trip I have. Normally, when we do play a road game, we fly in the night before, which is what we're doing tonight, and then you go through the day, and I'll do the show in Minneapolis tomorrow. Game is at 9 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, on at 8:30. And normally, we fly back after the game. So I probably would have been back, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the game. Post game ends at 11:30. Pack up, get out of there midnight, get to the airport, which is about a half hour to 45-minute ride. So 12:45, pack up the plane, 1:30, probably would have been back between 3:30 and 4, somewhere in there for the 9 o'clock start. What they decided to do was stay a second night. So when the game is over tomorrow night, we're going back over the Mississippi River to downtown Minneapolis to the hotel. We'll stay there tomorrow night, but then we'll leave at 8:20 on Thursday morning and fly back. The Spikes have their press conference at 11 o'clock Thursday morning. I won't be back until about noon, 12:30, and thus I'll miss it. Now, we will have a couple of guests on the show to discuss this, because this affects Williamsport, too. And we're going to talk to Tim Kirchen about that tomorrow, as well as other, obviously, a checklist of other things, including the Baseball Hall of Fame. We got a lot to talk to Tim about tomorrow. Then I'll do Thursday show here, and then I've got the coaches show at 6:05 to 7 on Thursday night, and then everything's normal on Friday, and then Saturday I got to get Wetzel tickets, and it's just, you know, there's a Wetzel issue here, all right, as you can tell. I mean, Matt was the perfect mediator. And Sue kicked him out.
I
mean, it's like,
I try, that's all.
It's not game week leave. I'm trying to make a sale right now. Then he looked at Greg. He says, "Have you ever thought of digital media?" Oh, geez. Right. And then Friday's normal, and then Saturday's game with Ohio State at noon, and then I'm going to settle in on Sunday, and I am going to watch football and football. And Monday we're back in the studio. Tuesday we've got the show here. Then I fly out Tuesday night to Ann Arbor. Do the game Wednesday in Ann Arbor, fly back, and then we get the first weekend off of the season. We go Wednesday to Wednesday. So that's that schedule. The PGA Tour. Hey, it might snow this weekend. How much snow are they saying that the valley might get? Four to six?
Well, right now, AccuWeather's saying 2 to 4 here on Saturday. But it depends on where the storm goes. The further north it goes, the less snow we get. The further south it goes, the more snow we get. But right now, it's 2 to 4.
Okay, so they don't know.
Yeah, basically.
Let me see what does ours say here. I thought ours was saying 3 to 6. Weather Channel was saying 6 to 10. Now, you know, they need ratings, but actually, the Weather Channel's. I watch the Weather Channel every morning for at least 10 minutes. Now, with what I do, I need to.
Exactly right.
Let me see. This wants to go AccuWeather, right? AccuWeather. Your AccuWeather forecast. All right. Twitter, don't need that. Facebook, don't need that. How about like a forecast? Let's try that. AccuWeather all the time on TV. Look, I just want to go to the website. Here, good enough. We'll do that. There we go. Go there. Let's see what they say for here. Let's see. Ooh, actually, Sunbury's up on the on my list here. Sunbury, 42 degrees right now. How about that?
Yeah, not bad today. This week is pretty good. Once we hit the weekend into next week, then it starts to actually feel like January again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I see that. And with the snow on the ground, it's going to feel a little colder. Let's go State College, PA. All right, so let's see. What are they saying here? Tomorrow, nothing. Next couple days, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not traveling this weekend. All right. That sounds cruel and crass, doesn't it? I'm not traveling. Snow mixing with sleet. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Usually they give, like, I'm going to have to do one of these where you add the amounts. Oh, great. So during the day, 2.6 inches. At night, 1.2. So now we're up to 3.8. All right. So then, let's see. And let's see. Now I got to go overnight, right? So we're at 3.8. Then we get to... Ding, 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 ding. Looks like 4 inches here. 4.1. 4.4. Wow. We're not even done yet. 4.4 and then getting cold. And then on Monday, which a lot of people have off anyway, another 2.5 inches. Wow. You're talking about 6.8 inches of snow if this all adds up. How about that? Between Saturday and Monday, 7 inches of snow. Snowblower, which I tried out for a little bit. My snowblower was like 3 years old, but yeah, I went out, took it out in November, just like cranked it up just to make sure it worked. That works great. I haven't touched it since. So with snow coming, the PGA Tour has unveiled a new pace of play policy that will include keeping a list of its slowest players on a week-to-week basis, and they will levy penalties for excessive shot times. Why don't you just fine them? Hit them in the wallet. Based on ShotLink data that the tour compiles, players will be placed on an observation list with warnings given if they exceed 60 seconds to play a shot and a second bad time resulting in a one-shot penalty. 60 seconds? Gee whiz, in 60 seconds I can hit a shot, go down, find the ball, and hit the next one. Now, admittedly, I'm not under par. Maybe it's because I play too fast. That might be my problem. I play too fast. I can play 18 holes when I'm just out there myself in an hour 50. Hey, I don't waste time, man.
I've seen you in action. I know you don't.
Don't waste time. I walk up, hit the ball. Meanwhile, we got to deal with this. Let me back off and take a look. Okay, look. Jack Nicklaus had it exactly right in the Golf My Way series. You have 14 clubs in the bag and only one swing. I've seen his swing. You're still going to make the same bad swing, whether you step back and look at it or not. Did I ever tell you this story? Okay, Dave Baker and I playing golf in Tucson, Arizona, at Ventana Canyon, which is a great... When we had Ed Henry on the show, Ed Henry from Fox News, Ed wrote the book about Jackie Robinson, which is a great book, by the way, 42 Faith. And Ed's a big golfer. And he said, well, you know, what's the favorite course you've ever played on? I said, for me, it's been Ventana Canyon in Tucson. He goes, oh, yeah. And then he talked about a golf course down in Florida he's played before. And we're out there one day, Dave and I, and I'm not going to mention who the third was because I don't want to embarrass this person. It's not somebody anybody knows, but I consider him a friend, and he's a great guy. And he's playing golf with us. And we get to the second hole. And it turned out, for whatever reason, Dave usually plays well anyway, so Dave hit the ball in the fairway, which is good. I happen to be fortunate, and I hit my ball into the fairway. And Dave and I are maybe separated by no more than 10 yards. Right? So we are driving down to that area, and the other guy that's with us, unfortunately, hit one. He sliced it into, quote, the junk. Now, in Arizona, the junk happens to be, of course, the desert. And so we get down there, and Dave and I are chit-chatting about whatever, you know, about the basketball tournament Penn State's playing in, who the matchup is, something like that. And also we realize that the other guy hasn't hit yet. Like, okay. So we turn around, and we look, and we go, his pants are down. Like, what are you doing? And when I mean his pants are down, I mean his pants are down, but, like, he, you know, he still has his underwear on. Like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, you won't believe it. I went to line up a shot. He says, and I backed up, and I backed into a cactus. I'm like, oh, no. He backed right into a cactus. And I looked over, I said, we're friends, but we aren't that close. The poor guy backed into a cactus. He got a couple spines in his backside. Now, he was able to get it out, which was fine, but my goodness, how painful must that have been? Oh, this is also the same course where the pro came up to us and said, hey, would you like a little local knowledge? And by the way, this course has a signature hole. In fact, you can look it up online. It's a 100-yard par 3 from cliff to cliff, from plateau to plateau. Then you get in the cart, and you literally have your foot on the brake all the way down to the bottom of the canyon. Then you got to gun it, try and go back up the canyon to get to the green. Well, this guy tells us, he says, you want a little local knowledge? And we said, sure, that'd be great. He says, no matter what you see, every putt breaks away from the mountain. Or from the mountain or the mountains. Okay? Every putt breaks away from the mountain. Okay. So I get up on a green. That's on the front line. It's like the seventh or eighth hole. And it is obvious, looking at the putt, it is a right to left putt. But the mountain is on the left. And I looked over at Dave and I said, you know what? He's the pro here. This is his course. I said, it's left to right, right? He says, yeah, it's obvious. It's left to right. You can see the slope. He says, but he says everything breaks away from the mountain. I said, you know what? I'm going to test this guy's theory. He said, he said, it's his course. We're going to do it his way. So I putted it left to right. And it went in. I mean, the doggone guy was right. So if they ever give you local knowledge, use it. On a cold day, a little golf thing wasn't bad to talk about today. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Great to have you with us. And tomorrow's show will be in Minneapolis. The oddity will be is that Tim Kurkjian, who has spent many a day at Target Field, home of the Twins, will actually be in Williamsport tomorrow Boy, has he been a good friend up there. He's been great. But you know what? Anybody who knows, you know, it's funny because I was on the road someplace, and I brought Tim Kirchen's name up because he was doing a report, and I said, you know what? I said, every single person that that knows him says he's just an absolutely great guy. Well, the irony will be he'll be in Williamsport tomorrow. We'll have him on the show. And I'll be overlooking Target Field because usually my room is does overlook on that side of the hotel. Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort. Now, this is a text from Kevin, okay? So this is not me, okay? Dick Hort, quote, you know what I like about your swing, Kevin? Kevin, what's that, coach? Dick Hort, nothing.
Just like the coach would say.
Nothing. I also have another reminder on Teamworks. Bus for airport leaves at 5:30. Well, I'm driving to the airport, so. And my bag is sitting right here, along with my iPad. Okay. University released a statement, right? University's established processes in place for responding to claims of potential misconduct. In accordance with our processes, the Office of Sexual Misconduct Prevention and Response and the Office of Student Conduct carried out investigations of the plaintiff's claims independent from intercollegiate athletics. In addition, Penn State Police investigated related allegations and forwarded the results of that investigation to the Office of the Center County District Attorney. The DA reviewed the case and decided that no charges would be pursued. Okay? So that, again, here's the university statement one more time. Because remember, this was, if you recall, remember there was a report out about this back in April? It was put out very in general terms. You didn't know what it was about or who it was about or if it was had anything to do with the football team. The university has established processes in place for responding to claims of potential misconduct. In accordance to our processes, the Office of Sexual Misconduct Prevention and Response and the Office of Student Conduct carried out investigations of the plaintiff's claims independent from intercollegiate athletics. In addition, Penn State Police investigated related allegations and forwarded the results of that investigation to the Office of the Center County District Attorney. The DA reviewed the case and decided no charges would be filed. I think the key there is the independent investigation. That's the key. That had nothing to do with intercollegiate athletics. The university did it, then the police did it. So it was reported through the chain. Lawsuits, though, are different than criminal complaints, as we all know. So we'll see how this plays out. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow from Minneapolis.